Hello, and thank you for downloading Wax Lyrical, the advertising and marketing podcast from Wax On and the Marketing Society. And I'm Mark Renicus.
Hi, and I'm Paul Jacobs. And in this episode, our guest is Sammy Rubin, founder and CEO of Ulife, described as the world's first lifestyle insurance company. We'll be talking to Sammy about spirituality in business, well-being in the workplace, and of course, our favourite TV ads and more. Yeah, hello, Sammy. Thank you very much for joining us.
Pleasure to be on the show. I'm really excited to be here with you guys and have a really open conversation.
Great. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this one. So, Sammy, we'll start. When we were first chatting a few weeks ago about the podcast, you were in Israel, outside, in fact, celebrating the Jewish festival of Sukkot. Please tell us kind of a bit about that and kind of why it's important to you.
Yeah, Sukkot is a wonderful festival. It's sort of a culmination of a series of festivals, beginning with the Jewish New Year and then leading to Yom Kippur, which is quite heavy and a reflective time and a time for introspection. And then Sukkot really is the 7 days of absolute celebration where we leave the comfort of our homes and we live in these sort of portable homes in nature for 7 days. And I was fortunate to sleep in the sukkah here, as I'm living right now in Jerusalem, and the weather permits that. And it's essentially, the idea is to move from the comfort of one's home and those strong walls into something which is much more temporary and much more close to nature. And it's about being more vulnerable and realizing that our strength doesn't come from the walls we build around us, but more about our values and our purpose in life.
Fascinating. And as you say, you're still outside. We're audio, but Sammy is in the Jerusalem sunshine. And here we are in November and it's chilly, but I'm very jealous. Sammy, I've done a bit of homework about you. And I think it's fair to say that you were very successful at quite an early age. In fact, it says on your LinkedIn profile that you were the youngest director of a publicly listed financial services business in the UK. And most famously, you went on to lead Vitality Life. Definitely a major disruptor in the life insurance market. And yet, you quickly discovered that success wasn't fulfilling. And fundamentally, I think it's safe to say you realized that you just weren't happy. How did that manifest itself? And what did you do about it?
Yeah, thank you very much for putting that out. I mean, I think in a way that there's two types of success that we can achieve in our life. One, which is sort of an external success, which much more about, you know, building wealth and building value, and that's important and that's great, but that can often come at the expense of our own internal success. And what I experienced at quite a young age, in my late 20s, you know, I was fortunate to build a business with my late father, and we were a new entry into the insurance market, and we built a business, and within 5 years we were very fortunate to float that on the London Stock Exchange. And you know, and I had success there. But I, at the time, I felt this sort of inner void inside of me. I wasn't happy. I was quite miserable. Even though I was excited and I was working hard and I was achieving success on one level, and to the outside world, everything looked amazing and rosy. However, inside, I didn't really feel satisfied. I felt I was yearning for something different. And that propelled me really to take some time out, to take a sabbatical. I took out 6 months at the time of the business and I went traveling. And I went to Arizona, I went to Israel, I spent some time in New York. And I really, it was a time really to reconnect to myself and what inspired me and my own well-being. And I was very fortunate to meet my wife as well at the time. And she was running a wellness center in Arizona. And that really reinforced to me that life is so much about connecting to one's inner values and one's inner purpose. And that really had a major influence on me, which has shaped my career since then.
Are you happier now? And how do you define happiness?
I'm much happier now. I think happiness is about an alignment between one's inner and one's outer life. I think when we feel aligned and we're doing what we want to be doing and we feel content with the things that we're doing, I think naturally that leads to a happiness. I think people often we seek happiness in the wrong places and we feel that maybe external things will give us happiness. And I think that that's an outside-in approach. And I've realized over my life that happiness comes from much more an inside-out approach. It's really going inside, spending time inside. What fuels us? What are our values? What's important to us? And then can we shape a world around those inner values?
It's very clear, Sammy, that kind of this experience you've been through has helped kind of in your business life as well. So diving a bit more into kind of starting U Life, we mentioned you kind of founder and CEO of U Life. How was that experience of self-discovery? How did that influence the way you went about setting up U Life?
Well, for me, U Life is a really culmination of all my travels and all my journeys and insights. I mean, at U Life, our big mission is to inspire people to live their best lives. And we are a life insurance company. And we believe that life insurance really should be about life. Up till now, the life insurance industry is very much about when people die, and it's about claims and what happens when people go through difficult times. And we wanted to change that and put that on its head and create a new type of company, which is all about inspiring people to live their best lives and using technology and gamification to inspire people to do healthy activities every single day. And therefore, the whole of U Life and the people that we've recruited and have joined this adventure and building this startup are really aligned to this big mission of helping inspire people to live their best lives. And therefore, we wanted to create a culture that's supportive for all of us, all the people who are building at U Life, and something that could make a real difference in the world.
What great examples of well-being culture have you seen in other businesses that you think we could all learn from, Sammy?
For me, the well-being cultures that I've seen are not about grand statements. They're not about doing very big, grand retreats. For me, it's just about the very simple, everyday activities. Like there are some companies, for example, that they love walking meetings. Otherwise, when they have a meeting, it's not just sitting in a boardroom or just sitting on a Zoom. And obviously, things have changed now. But they've always encouraged, as part of their culture, for people to go out into the outdoors and have meetings there. How can we create more activity into our daily life? And it's about those simple things. And for us, it's very much about mindfulness meditation, because we talk a lot about mental well-being. And my experience is that mindfulness meditation is something that really is conducive to our overall well-being. So what we do is before we start, I did a Monday morning kickoff this morning. So we have about 60 people now. And before we start every Monday morning, we ring a gong and we just take a breath, just to make a breath just for ourselves. Hey, just to be together, taking a breath and to recognize the importance of just being in that moment. And we have yoga sessions during the week, mindfulness meditation. We reward people who do mindfulness meditation through these apps out there. And I think it's about the very simple everyday activities rather than the grand gestures that really shape and reinforce a well-being culture.
Fascinating to hear that you're rewarding people for kind of mindful behaviors. That's great. Turning to your customers, I understand that you do something similar there and that you've applied gamification, that's my word, I think, to the U Life user experience. Can you tell us a bit more about that and what the data reveals about consumer behavior?
Absolutely. I mean, we're very fortunate. Our chief product officer, Josh Hart, is one of the co-founders of U Life. He is a massive gamer. He loves games. He's tried every game. And him and the engineering team, they love playing games in the evening. And really, as an influence of his real obsession with game, we've taken this idea of gamification and we've created an experience where people will earn a well-being currency, which we call U-Coin. For every mile they walk, they earn a U-Coin. For every 2 minutes of mindfulness meditation you do through Calm or Headspace or one of the mindfulness apps, you earn U-Coin. And then one can exchange the U-Coin for things like Amazon vouchers, ASOS vouchers. I mean, before COVID, Air Miles with Avios was one of our most popular rewards. And then people can rewards, exchange their U-Coin for all these types of rewards, and then they can see the actual impact that their meditation or their walking is doing. They're earning U-Coin, they're exchanging it at the end of the month. They can earn, let's say, up to about £10 a month through just doing very simple activities. So what we're doing is we're making well-being fun, We're making it engaging, and we're bringing gamification to really engage people and to really inspire people to live their best lives.
Did you ever think you'd have your own currency, Sammy? YouLife, YouCoin.
We love YouCoin. We love YouLife. And it's also inspired the YouCoin. If you look at the face, you know, you have the head of the queen on you know, on our currency in the UK. But in our currency, we have Yugi, who's our giraffe. Any of us who've seen our branding, who's put it out there, will know that Yugi, our giraffe, is our mascot, is our symbol. And the reason that we chose the giraffe was that the giraffe has the largest heart of any land animal. And we really believe that to build now a culture based around love, and start from a foundation of love and heart, both for ourselves as a team, but in terms of the love that we want to project into the universe, we believe that's really a big purpose. That's a big direction. And therefore, Yugi, who we named recently, is our giraffe, like a yogi, but with a Yugi. And the biggest heart of any land animal is our giraffe. Their head is on our YouCoin. And it really, Yugi runs through all of our branding and our marketing. And we're really inspired to have Yugi as sort of our role model, setting the big, what's important, which is having a big heart at the end of the day.
Many leaders, we've been fortunate enough to talk to many throughout, I guess, the lockdown period we've been in. But they've talked about how COVID has accelerated positive changes in their business, which I think is very important. So tell us a bit more about how the last few months has impacted your business.
Yeah, I mean, we found that through the COVID, in a way, I mean, obviously it's such a difficult time, but at the same time, it has accelerated our growth in that we are a well-being company. And companies now realize that first and foremost, they need to look after the well-being of their employees. You know, they may have been looking beforehand at certain perks, pizza evenings or snooker tables or pool tables, and a sort of maybe superficial perks. But now they realize if they have a budget to spend, they really want to focus much more on well-being. And also those companies that do have an insurance spend and are already providing life insurance for their employees, again, which is so important in these times, are now focusing much more on their spend and saying, how can we get more out of their life insurance? So it's not just something you just put in a drawer and it's just a tick box, but how can we create a product for our staff that actually fuels a whole well-being culture, which is so important in this time?
In terms of how the kind of the business operates internally, are there any behaviors, and even personally for you as a leader, that you've kind of learned that you're definitely going to take forward with you beyond the pandemic?
I think it's about those small steps. You know, sometimes in the past we may have thought it's all about doing the big things. I have to join a gym, or I have to, you know, go out and spend a weekend retreat away, or do a whole big detox. And I've realized for myself that it's just the very, very small steps that we do. Small changes to our lifestyle, small things that we can do, incorporate a walk before I start working, or incorporate a little, you know, 10-minute mindfulness meditation at the end of the day, just to sort of just let go some of the stresses of the day. Just those small things for me have huge impact. And it's just about building those very small behavior changes during the day. And I've seen enormous impact and difference in my own life. And I know that's a big difference to our customers and within our company.
And what kind of people have been important to you? You've had your spiritual kind of self-awareness session, but who has guided you? Who has been the most important mentor for you?
I can pick out two, actually, that's come to mind when they talk about the biggest piece that influenced me. First of all, I have to talk about my late father, because my late father, he was a refugee. He arrived from Poland at the age of 8. He wasn't able to speak a word of English. And he left school at 16. And it wasn't easy. And he had to go out and build his own career. And he was a real entrepreneur. And he tried several businesses at the time. He built a factory making boxes. And at the age of his late 50s, his early 60s, it wasn't easy for him. And we were struggling as a family. And at the age of 63, after having not really worked for several years, he stumbled on and he came across this new idea. And at the age of 63, said, you know, I'm going to start a whole new business. And he managed to pave the way for a whole new industry and traded life insurance policies, which I was very fortunate to just be there at the beginning and to help build that up into a market. And it was, you know, at the age, in his late 60s, he was floating a company on the London Stock Exchange. And that, for me, that drive, that passion, that constant curiosity to grow and to find new things and to try at any age to try again and again and again and to pick oneself up, for me, is just a massive influence on my own life. Because as we know, every startup is about trying things, failing, getting rejected, trying new things, failing, and eventually you get up and you make and you try again and again and again. And it's so much about creating that endurance. So my late father's a huge impact on me. In addition, I want to single out also a rabbi that had a huge impact on my life. His name was Adin Steinsaltz. He actually just passed away about a month ago. He was described by Time magazine as like a scholar of the millennium. Like, you only get one scholar like this every millennium. And he had a huge impact on my life. He translated the Talmud into many different languages, and he opened up Jewish secrets and mysticism to the world in general. And he became a personal mentor for me, and he was like a spiritual teacher. And during my own difficult challenges of my life, I knew he was always there for me. And there was one symbol that he always used to talk about. And that is Jacob's ladder in the Bible. There's a ladder, Jacob has a dream, and there's a ladder. And he says, you always have to be like the ladder. What is about this ladder? This ladder has its head in that towards the heavens. Always think big. Put your head towards something really big. Have a massive, ambitious goal. But the ladder was rooted in the ground. You have to be grounded. You have to have your feet on the ground, firmly on the ground. And the art of living is to be both at the same time. Be this ladder where you can move from being fully grounded and in the world, but also having your head towards the heavens. And it's that journey and that dance in between your legs in the ground, but your head in the heaven. And that, for me, has always remained an inspiration.
I'm sure you're asked to be a mentor too, Sammy. What do you think are the best qualities for a mentor?
I think, first of all, being present. You know, it's so often, and especially in life now with all the different distractions of social media and just the fast pace of life, I think being present with another human being, stopping, not looking at one's phone, taking a deep breath, and just being present and just being listening and being present with another person, I think is such a forgotten art. It's such a valuable art, and it's something which is so precious. And that's, you know, what I try to do. It's not always easy, but I strive to just be present and being in the moment, using breath, using mindfulness, just and focusing our attention. I think from that place of presence comes unbelievable results, both in terms of insights, in terms of listening skills, in terms of creativity. So for me, presence sort of is the most important. I think twinned with that is this vulnerability. Often we see vulnerability as being like a weakness. Oh, I'm feeling vulnerable. Is that a weakness or is it a strength? In my opinion, being vulnerable is a real strength. When we see other people being vulnerable, we can see in others, hey, that's really powerful, the way they're communicating. Often when we think of ourselves being vulnerable, we see it as a weakness. But in fact, it's very powerful. And I think if we ourselves as individuals can be vulnerable and say, you know, I'm not perfect, I'm on a journey, I don't know the answers, and we model that to the people around us, that can really open up boundaries. And it opens up walls between people, and it allows other people to share their vulnerabilities. And it's only really, I think, by being vulnerable that one can really take giant strides in one's life.
Well, Sammy, hearing you speak, kind of an observation I definitely have around business success is that kind of it's still associated with macho behaviors like kind of determination and aggression. You seem to have kind of effortlessly combined kind of spirituality with your business success. And I can't imagine that was always easy, but tell us a bit more about how you've achieved that.
I think it's just my own nature. I don't think it's anything that I've really tried to do. I think it's my own nature. I've always been inclined, even growing up as a young guy, I've sort of been more into the spirituality of things. I've been a seeker and a searcher and seeking truth, seeking meaning behind things, never been quite satisfied with just sort of the superficial gloss of things. So for me, it's sort of been a natural behavior. And yeah, you talk about the macho business boom. I think that there are more and more role models of business leaders now that are talking authentically about themselves, about the struggles that we all go through. Every macho leader goes through their own personal struggles, whether they want to talk about it or not. But we all do, the leaders. We go through our own struggles, our mental health struggles, our own, you know, insecurities, imposter syndrome. So, you know, do we really live up to what we're trying to do? Do we trust ourselves fully? Do we, you know, these are questions that every person goes through. And I feel that there is a movement now of different type of leadership, of people who are much more open to talk about these things. And I think success now is measured much more, rather than just in material and external success, much more of how we live in our life. What are the values that are important to us? What is our work-life balance? And I think hopefully we're entering into a new phase for leadership.
It's clear, kind of leading by example is very important there, and something you do. And do you think that's it? Kind of if we keep encouraging more leaders to, yeah, as you said, you feel confident there's more people are engaging that conversation and changing. Do you think that's the answer? We just need to get more to do it?
I think there is something about role modeling and about community. And I think definitely it's peer-to-peer. I think that there are so many forums now for business leaders now to talk about these things, to talk about their own journeys that they've gone through. And I think that the more people do it, the more permission, in a way, we give each other to talk about it. Because I think that it's about creating a new type of conversation. And I think especially now, post-COVID, I think as a world, we need to wake up. What is important to us, ourselves? What's important to us as individuals, as families, as communities? What is the world we're trying to create? You know, we've made a lot of mistakes as a human race. Where are we going from here? And these starts, you know, leaders now need to look just beyond the everyday and the normal and the growth figures. So what is growth? Is growth just about business growth? Or is it growth in the broader sense? How are we growing as individuals, as communities, as businesses? I think the more we engage in these conversations, and there are so many business leaders talking about this, the more that will actually just strengthen.
When we were chatting before, I asked you whether you felt personally part of the city, as we call it, you know, the epitome of financial services in the UK, and certainly, you know, the city is an important part of financial services in the world. Do you feel part of the city?
Not at all. Not at all. And I think it sort of, I think in general, first of all, and I think that, you know, the great mystics actually teach us that we should be in the world, but not of the world. In other words, the idea of being somewhat detached from the excessive external realities of the world and all of the trappings that has, I think, is really an important success to building one's values and one's success in this lifetime. It's a complicated world. There are so many things happening, and we're buffeted by so many different influences and so many value systems. And this world of the city is not something that I've ever aspired to. I don't feel part of it, but I operate in it, obviously, and I hope to shape it with other people for the better. But yes, being very true to my own values and the values that are core to me, I think is where I'd like to position myself, rather than feeling, yes, I'm part of the city.
So I'm inspired listening to you. Great that you want to make the city a better place. What do you think are its strengths and weaknesses right now?
The strengths are the unyielding ambition, the push for growth, that push for doing things. You know, I think these are healthy motivations. But we also have to look at the expense of what? What is that the expense of? Is that the expense of my family? At the expense of my well-being, exact expense of my company culture. So we need a new narrative now that brings the best of the teachings that we're all exposed to, the best of the spiritual teachings, our own inner values, and we need to bring all of that now into our world, into the world of the city. As I started earlier, at the beginning of the contest, of the podcast, I talked about the inner and the outer, and we really need both. you know, there is aspects of the outer world and the external world in the city that does drive the growth, which I think is a really important skill set. It's an important metric that we have metrics on which to judge us by. But we also need that holistic viewpoint, and we need to know how best to balance these different worlds and to build a new type of universe based on our values, not the values of anything else. We can see where the world has gotten to, and we're not in a healthy place, and we really need a readjustment.
Well, before we let you go, there's a signature question that we always ask our guests, and I'm sure you've heard us do this before. So, Sammy, please tell us about your favourite TV ad. I'd love to hear why you love this particular ad, and if you can, do your best to describe it, because we're a podcast, so that our listeners can relive it in some way, shape or form.
Let me set the scene. It's 1997. Steve Jobs had just returned to Apple. Apple were struggling. They needed to reboot their whole campaign. They needed a new driving, urgent message. And Apple launched an iconic campaign, often known as the Crazy Ones. And this campaign was really unique. They worked with an agency called Chiat Day. And what they did is that they assembled 17 world-changing figures, people who have had a real impact on the world in the 20th century. Albert Einstein, Bob Dylan, Martin Luther King, John Lennon, Mahatma Gandhi, a host of others. Then they posed the question, here's to the crazy ones, the misfits, the rebels, the troublemakers, the round pegs and the square holes. You can't ignore these people. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the ones who are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are the ones who do. And then they said, Apple, think different. And that Think Different campaign, that really inspired me back in 97. And it's still, that Think Different still appears on a lot of their packaging as well, the Apple. The idea to think different, the idea to think out of the box, to realize that in order to change the world, we have to be a bit crazy. And we have to just trust ourselves and be sometimes that round peg in the square hole. But ultimately, it's the ones who really have a vision, the ones who are really going to change the world.
Legend has it that Steve Jobs was very closely involved with the production of that ad. One of the stories I heard, Sammy, was that he personally flew out to New York to meet Yoko Ono to persuade her to put some of the imagery in the ad, which she obviously gave permission for. And she actually is in the ad herself. There's a shot of her with John Lennon, as you said, one of 17 people. Some people I don't know. There's so many famous people in that ad that I know their faces, but I couldn't quite put names to them. So yeah, great choice, Sammy. Thank you.
Absolutely. And thank you for the wonderful description of it. Our listeners will be nothing but grateful.
It's amazing.
To visualize it and be on YouTube before they know it, having a look at it. So yeah, thank you for that reminder. There's a Steve Jobs documentary that came out, I think, either back in the last year or this year. And this ad featured very prominently in, as you said, Sammy. There's a key part of Steve Jobs' journey that this played a role in. So brilliant choice, and definitely a kind of advertising hall of fame. So that's it from us. Sammy, thank you so much for joining us. Like, a truly fascinating and inspiring chat, and I, for one, will be much more reflective as a result. So we wish you all the best success at ULife. Thank you very much for joining us, and take care.
Thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Sammy.
Thanks, Sammy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Here's to the crazy ones. The misfits. The rebels. The troublemakers. The round pegs in the square holes. The ones who see things differently. They're not fond of rules, and they have no respect for the status quo. You can quote them, disagree with them, glorify or vilify them. About the only thing you can't do is ignore them. because they change things. They push the human race forward. And while some may see them as the crazy ones, we see genius. Because the people who are crazy enough to think they can change the world are the ones who do.